Good morning. How's everybody this morning? Good. If you are a guest with us this morning, thank you for joining with us, and we are so grateful that you are here. And when you came in, hopefully you received a welcome packet. Inside that welcome packet is a little card. If you just take a moment, fill that out, drop it in the offering plate when it comes by, or just leave it on the information table out in the foyer. That would be such a big help to us. And hopefully you also received a bulletin. And hopefully everybody else grabbed a bulletin when you came in or was handed one by Don. Did you all get a bulletin? All right, well, take it out and let's kind of take a look at what's happening around here this week. Starting today, after our morning service, we have church family dinner, and it's soup and sandwiches, and I can already smell some food cooking back there, so that'll be really good. And if you are a guest with us, we want to encourage you to be able to stay and join us for our church family dinner. Tomorrow night, ladies, there's Bible study here at the church, and this is open up to all ladies. So if you have the time available and you'd like to come and participate, that would be great. Tuesday night, 7 p.m. here at the church, we have men's Bible study. Again, that's open to all men. And so if you have the time available, we'd sure like you to be able to come and join us for that. Wednesday, we have Joy Lunch at Eddie's Diner, and you'll see in the bulletin that Joy stands for Just Older You. But in order to come and join us for lunch, you don't have to be an old person. You just have to have the time available to be able to meet with us at Eddie's Diner. And so I want to encourage you to be able to come and just join us for a good time of fellowship. By the way, Eddie's has the best omelets. Just saying. So I don't know if that would be a draw for you or not. But anyway, that you will see that. You'll see in the bulletin that we still need two adult ladies to help in the nursery on a regular monthly rotation, one Sunday a month. And if you'd like to help, see Andrea, and she would be more than happy to be able to, if you have any questions or to be able to add you to the rotation, that would be great. We need to be praying for Bill Spaulding. His mother passed away this past Monday, and the service is going to be this Saturday in Pocatello. And then I want to introduce somebody to you that, he's kind of been around here for a little bit, but in a different way. So Silas, come see Papa. Can you come see Papa? Whoa! You're getting too heavy. So I want to introduce to you Silas James Tremaine. His adoption became final on Wednesday. So the papers were signed. He is officially a Tremaine, and we are just so excited for that. I don't know if he's excited, but we are. And so his parents, Jeremy and Christine, have asked if we do a prayer of dedication for him and for them. And so we're going to do that right now. So Jeremy, why don't you come and join us if you can. Yeah, exactly. All right, let's pray. Father, we are just so excited about what you have done in Silas's life. Father, thank you for bringing him to our family. Father, thank you for just guiding the situation from bad to really, really good. And Father, as we look back and we see everything that's transpired in the last 2 years, there's no question that your hand has been in this. So Father, I want to pray for him. I want to just pray that he will grow up to know you. Father, I pray that he will grow up to know Jesus as his Savior. Father, I pray that he will grow up to know and to live your word. And Father, I pray for his parents. I pray that you will just give them peace and give them patience. And Father, help them as they have a dedication to want him to be able to grow up knowing God, knowing Jesus as Savior, and knowing his word as well. He's already got a good start because he's been involved in our Cubby program, and he's already learning about Jesus. He's already learning about God's word. And Father, for that we are excited. So Father, I just pray that you'll bless this family. As their church family, help us to be able to support them, help us to be able to encourage them, and help us to be able to pray for them. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, go with Mommy. All right. I never thought I'd ever get to do that for one of mine. That's really pretty cool. All right, are you ready to praise this morning? Ready to worship?
Yes.
Ready to give God glory?
Yes.
Because that's why we're here. All the glory goes to him. All right, let's go, worship team.
God is so good. Amen.
Amen.
It's so exciting to get to see things like that happen and to be involved in that. You are the church. You, even you, are the church. Would you stand with me as we praise God today? We're going to sing a bunch of songs about how awesome God is this morning. If you don't know him, that's okay. The words are on the screen. If you don't know how the songs go, that's okay. It's okay. You can sing along in your heart and your mind. Sing along with your words. Let's worship God this morning. Let's open with a quick word of prayer about how great God is. Lord, we're so thankful for you. We're so thankful that you are the reason that we're here. You are a great and mighty warrior who has already gone before us. You've already fought battles on our behalf. Lord, you have secured victory. And Lord, you have a life that you've prepared for us to live. And so God, help us to live it. Help us to walk in it. Just like Sam prayed a minute ago about knowing your word and following your word, living your word. Lord, we love you. We thank you for how great you are today. In Jesus' name, amen.
You call us out from the depths into your freedom. Our chains are gone.
Hallelujah.
And no weapon formed shall prevail. Your word is stronger. We overcome. Our God, a mighty warrior. You're a consuming fire. In victory you reign. We triumph in your name. Jesus, the great commander. You conquered death forever. In victory you reign. We triumph in your name. Your glory resounds through the age. All saints declaring your great renown. Your kingdom forever will stand. We won't be shaken. We will not fear. Our God, a mighty warrior. You're a consuming fire. In victory you reign. We triumph in your name. Jesus, the great commander. You conquered death forever. In victory you reign. We triumph in your name. Yeah. And we declare your name is power. Exalted one, your name is higher. You stand alone, a strong defender. Above you there's no other. Above you there's no other. And we declare your name is power. Exalted one, your name is higher. You stand alone, a strong defender. Above you there's no other. 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 Our God, a mighty warrior. You're a consuming fire. In victory you reign. We triumph in your name. Jesus, the great commander. You conquered death forever. In victory you reign. We triumph in your name. We triumph in your name.
You hear me when I call. You are my morning song. Though darkness fills the night, it cannot hide the light. When shall I fear?
You crush the enemy underneath my feet. You are my sword and shield, though troubles linger still. Whom shall I fear?
All together.
I know who goes before me. I know who stands behind. The God of angel armies is always by my side. The one who reigns forever, he is a friend of mine. The God of angel armies is always by my side. My strength is in your name, for you alone can save. You will deliver me, yours is the victory. Whom shall I fear? Whom shall I fear? I know who goes before me, I know who stands behind. The God of angel armies is always by my side. The one who reigns forever, he is a friend of mine. The God of angel armies is always by my side. And nothing formed against me shall stand. You hold the whole world in your hands. I'm holding on to your promises. You are faithful. You are faithful. You are faithful. I know who goes before me, I know who stands behind. The God of angel armies is always by my side. The one who reigns forever, he is a friend of mine. The God of angel armies is always by my side. I know who goes before me, I know who stands behind. The God of angel armies is always by my side. The one who reigns forever, he is a friend of mine. The God of angel armies is always by my side. The God of angel armies is always by my side.
Amen. Please go ahead and be seated as we continue this morning. God is good, amen?
Amen.
Woo! I'm glad I came to church. I don't know about you guys. It's so awesome to remember the truths about God. When we sing this stuff, it's not magic words. It's not a formula. It's expression of your heart to God, of how great he is. That's what worship is. And it's not just singing. Worship is expressing through your whole life how great God is.
A mighty fortress is our God, a bulwark never failing. Our helper, he amid the flood of mortal ills prevailing. For still our ancient foe doth seek to work us woe. His craft and power are great, and armed with cruel hate, on earth is not his equal. Did we in our own strength confide, our striving would be losing. Were not the right man on our side, the man of God's own choosing. Dost ask who that may be? Christ Jesus, it is he. Lord Sabaoth his name, from age to age the same, and he must win the battle. This world with devils filled should threaten to undo us. We will not fear, for God hath willed his truth to triumph through us. The prince of darkness grim, we tremble not for him. His rage we can endure, for lo, his doom is sure. One little word shall fail him. That word above all earthly power, no thanks to them abideth. The Spirit and the gifts are ours, through him who with us sideth. Let goods and kindred go, this mortal life also, the body they may kill, God's truth abideth still. His kingdom is forever. Amen.
As we sing this next song, it's a song from the 90s. It's pretty basic. There's one verse in the Bible that talks about the Father of lights, and every perfect gift comes from him. You don't have to be a perfect singer. You don't have to have a perfect life to adore the Father of lights.
Father of lights, you delight. Father of lights, you delight in your children. Every good and perfect gift comes from you. Every Father of lights, you never change. You have no turning. Father of lights, you never change. You have no turning. Every good and perfect gift comes from you. Every good and perfect gift comes from you. Every good and perfect gift comes from you. Father of lights,
as we take this morning's offering, our ushers are going to come, and if you're visiting with us today, please don't feel obligated to give. We give because we worship. Lord, we're so thankful today for you, the Father of lights, the Creator God, the one over all, the one who has made promises to us and your promise keeper. We're thankful today for you and how you've changed our future. Lord, we ask that as we look into your word, as we look into your character and we see who you are, Lord, we desire to honor you appropriately. We desire to give you appropriate praise and glory and honor. You're worth it. You're worth all of it. Lord, thank you for today. Thank you for another opportunity. Thank you, Lord, that you have prepared our way ahead of us so that we can walk in the good works which you planned for us. Lord, help us to do it, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.
You saved my life from death. I was all but defeated. You spoke your promises and brought life to my weakness. Came as a conquering king, and you warred for my freedom. My soul can't help but sing, hallelujah. You opened up my eyes for the first time I saw you. Your love commanding life and deserving. Told me who I am, now in faith I believe it. My soul can't help but sing, hallelujah. You made a place for me, silenced all. Joy I will follow. Your cross demands my life. Now your grace is my anthem. My soul can't help but sing, hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Turn with me, if you will, to Psalm 63. And in Psalm 63, we're going to see where David comes to the conclusion that God needs to be praised. I don't know, Jared, if you read that before you chose the songs, but I think how fitting those are. No, I didn't forget. Come on, kids. Come on down. We'll get you sent off to Children's Church. They're sitting there like, is he going to say it? Is he going to say it? Wow, we got a whole bunch today. Cool. No more Lone Ranger. Aren't you glad for that? All right. Okay, let's pray. Father, we're just so grateful. And Father, I think because of the songs that we've been able to sing, the worship we've been able to enjoy as we've sang, as we've given, as we've prayed, Father, I think the only thing that our heart can say is God be praised. And Father, as we hear your word this morning, Father, may as we leave this place in just a little while, Father, may our hearts say again, God be praised. Because it's not about us. It's not about other human beings. It's about you. And Father, we want even this time as we center our thoughts and our minds and our hearts on your word, we want you to be praised. For it's in Jesus' name we ask. Amen. All right, go and have a good time. So we've been, for the last few weeks, a little bit before the Christmas season, and since the Christmas season has been over, we've been in a series of messages called praising our way through the Psalms. We have today, we have a couple more after that, and then the plan is in February, we're going to start a series of messages from the book of Joshua. And as I was looking at Psalm 63, because I've selected Psalms, we're not doing an intense study of the book of Psalms, but I think it's been relevant for us. I think it's been relevant for us as believers. I think it's been relevant for us as we try to sort our way and walk our way through what we see happening in our world and in our culture on a daily basis. I think it's all been good for us to be able to focus our lives on praise. And as I was reading Psalm 63, the word focus just kept coming up and up and up and up to me. And so the title of our message this morning is Focus on God. And as I was really getting into Psalm 63, there were some things that just kept popping up to me. Like David is writing here in Psalm 63, and he's giving us signs to be able to watch for. Signs that maybe we need to pay attention to. Signs that not just need to be on the peripheral of our life, but they need to be the focus of our life. Because signs are important. Sometimes signs are helpful. And I found some actual signs found on businesses. On a plumbing company's van, it says, a flush beats a full house. Okay, you'll get that after lunch, maybe. Okay? At a tire shop in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, it says, invite us to your next blowout. A towing company says, we don't charge an arm and a leg, we want toes. T-O-W-S. At an optometrist's office, it says, if you don't see what you're looking for, you've come to the right place. I kind of like that. Outside a muffler shop, no appointment necessary. We hear you coming. In a restaurant window, don't stand there and be hungry. Come on in and get fed up. And then the other day, I'm driving here to church, and I'm going west on Overland towards 5 Mile, and I see this sign on the Dairy Queen. And I went, that is my all-time favorite. It actually says this. So if you drive by and you're going west on Overland, make sure you pay attention to the sign at Dairy Queen because it says this, ruining resolutions since 1962. My kind of sign. I like that. I thought that was great. Now, there could have been a sign posted outside King David's palace about 3,000 years ago that said this, the king has left because his boy has leveraged him out. And as we've been studying the Psalms, we've learned that David wrote many of them. And here in Psalm 63, we discover that David wrote these words when he was in the desert of Judah. And so I want us to take a little bit of time this morning and set the stage for this study of Psalm 63. There were two times when David was in the wilderness of the Judean desert. The first time was when King Saul was hunting him down, as recorded in 1 Samuel. The second time David was on the run was when his son Absalom was conspiring against him and had declared himself king, as recorded in 2 Samuel. Now we know from Psalm 63, verse 11, that David was the king when God's Holy Spirit led him to write this psalm. So the setting must be when he was running for his life because of Absalom, since David was not king when Saul was chasing him. So in order to get a little bit more background, we need to go back to 2 Samuel chapter 15, and you don't need to turn there. But we read in 2 Samuel chapter 15 that David's son Absalom found a chariot, some horses, and about 50 men. For 4 years, he was up early and he met with people at the city gate to judge their legal claims. And when people would bow down to him with thanks, he would embrace him. In fact, in verse 6 of 2 Samuel, it tells us that Absalom stole the hearts of the men of Israel. What does that mean? It means that he set up a rival throne in Hebron and declared himself to be king. These people that he for 4 years had been helping, these people who for 4 years he had been trying to manipulate them to leave their allegiance to King David and to move that allegiance to him. Now, I want you to know something. I want you to know two things. He didn't do this. He didn't do this overtly, or he did it overtly. He didn't do it out in the open. He did it a little bit, at a little bit, at a little bit. Here's the second thing I want you to know. Within the church, there are still people today who have that same attitude and those same actions of Absalom. They come into a church and they begin little by little by little to be able to move people away from the authority of that church, the authority of the leadership of that church, the respect of the pastor. They don't do it. They don't do it all at one time. They do it over a period of time, getting people to follow their leadership instead of the leadership that God has placed over them. And instead of choosing to fight for his throne, David ran into the wilderness. And verse 30 of 2 Samuel tells us that David left Jerusalem weeping, his head covered in shame, the hot sand of the desert burning his royal bare feet as he ran for his life. David had to be wondering, what in the world is going on? This was his son. This wasn't supposed to happen. It didn't make sense. David felt lonely, sad, brokenhearted, and feared for his life. He was betrayed by his boy, exiled from his throne, and humiliated in the desert. Today, is your experience similar to David's? Are you dealing with something that doesn't make sense? Are you reeling by some bad news? Have you had someone pull the rug out from under you? Do you feel like you're just wandering in the wilderness? Well, I have some good news for you this morning. It's not always a bad thing to be in the wilderness. Let me say that again. It's not always a bad thing to be in the wilderness, because wilderness wanderings create a focus for God. Now, I've been in my life and in my years of ministry, there have been times I've been in the wilderness. And it's not a pleasant place. It's not a fun place. It's not the place sometimes that you woke up in the morning and said, I think today I'm gonna go to the wilderness. No, we don't do that. But sometimes things are set in motion beyond our understanding. And we find ourselves where? In the wilderness. And we think, oh, how terrible this is. But I got good news. Being in the wilderness is not necessarily a bad thing, because it brings our focus back to God. Because when God is all we've got, he's all we want. If there's anything I want you to take away from this message this morning, it's because when God is all we've got, he's all we want. David had lost everything, and now he's able to find the only thing that will truly satisfy, God himself. In Psalm 63 is not a psalm of woe. It's not a psalm of sorrow. It is a psalm of praise that David is using to bring him to true satisfaction, no matter what it is that he's going through. And you know what? It's there for us today for that same purpose, to bring us to true satisfaction, no matter what it is that we might be going through. And in Psalm 63, I want you to get this. You might want to write this down. In Psalm 63, David refers to God 21 times in 11 short verses. Guess what, folks? That's focus. That's having our focus in the right place. I think that qualifies as focus. Now, I sense that most of you really want to find a clear focus on God, and this reminds me of the man who bought an expensive hunting dog. Eager to see how he would perform, he took off to track a bear. No sooner had they arrived in the woods than the dog picked up the trail. But then the dog stopped, sniffed the ground, and headed in a new direction. He had caught the scent of a deer that had caught the bear's path. A few minutes later, he halted again, this time smelling a rabbit. Every couple of minutes, the dog would stop and follow a different trail. Finally, the breathless hunter caught up with his dog, only to find him barking triumphantly. at the hole of a field mouse. Often we're a lot like this dog. We start out with clear focus, giving God first place in our hearts and lives, praising Him for His goodness, praising Him for His greatness, praising Him for all that He is. But then our spiritual focus becomes diverted to things of lesser importance. When we're wandering in the wilderness, we're often forced to admit that the things that the world has to offer won't cut it, because it always promises more than it could deliver. So then we have to bring our focus back to what? Because when God is all we've got, He's all we want. Now, just as businesses use signs to get the attention of their customers, there are three signs given to us here in Psalm 63 to help our focus be in the proper place. So I want us to look at those signs this morning. Sign number one is this: have an inward focus. David begins by looking into his heart and recognizing that the only thing he has is God. Look at verse 1. O God, You are my God. Earnestly I seek You. My soul thirsts for You. My flesh faints for You, as in a dry and weary land where there is no water. Notice that David uses a personal pronoun to describe relationship and attachment. He says what? My God. David is seeking God earnestly, which indicates to me, and hopefully indicates to you, his focus. Remember, David's in a desert with no water, and yet he longs for God more than he does a drink of water. David was dry and weary in his spirit. He was not as close to God as when he was that shepherd boy and the recognized king of Israel. And as he focused inward, he knew that something was missing. And he desires intimacy with God as he reflects to his praise and worship experiences. Look at verse 2. So I've looked upon You in the sanctuary, beholding Your power and glory. David remembers the opportunity he had to see the glory of God, the power of God, and the purpose of God. And can I remind you this morning? That should be our goal with our praise and worship as well. You see, we shouldn't come here to see others, or to listen to music, or to sing songs, or even just to hear a sermon. We need to come here with the expectation of praising God for His glory, praising God for His power, and praising God as we leave this place, as He fulfills His purpose for us. So this morning, as you look inward, can you say that you're focusing on God? Or are you focusing on your circumstances? Are you focusing on that maybe you've moved from the good times to the times of the desert? Your focus, no matter whether it's in the good times or whether it's in the desert, your focus needs to be on God. And perhaps God has allowed a time in the desert for you to find out where your focus really is. Just maybe that's a purpose. So after focusing inward, the next sign points us to, and here's the second sign, have an upward focus. And we see this in verses 3 through 8. And verse 3 gives us the summary of David's search for satisfaction. Look at what it says. Because Your steadfast love is better than life, my lips will praise You. What kind of love? Steadfast. We don't use that word steadfast anymore. But in the Hebrew, this word steadfast means an enduring love. A love that is so strong that nothing can destroy it. That nothing can change it. Nothing can disrupt it. David says, because Your steadfast love is better than life. I'll still grumble and complain about the fact I'm in the desert. I'm in the wilderness. I've got all these unpleasant circumstances. I've got all this thing going on in my life that I can't understand. Is that what David said? David said, no, because your steadfast love is better than life, my lips will what? Praise you. Folks, listen. When we're in a time in our lives where we don't understand what's going on and why it's going on, the last thing we should do, instead of grumble and complain, instead of pull the covers up over our head, instead of go and isolate ourselves away from that which we know is important, we need to be praising God. Now, we don't need to praise him for where we are. We need to praise him for who he is. We need to praise him for his greatness. We need to praise him for his goodness. We need to praise him for the fact that he hasn't lost sight of us. His focus, as we've learned in Psalms a couple sermons back, his focus is always on us. It never changes. I don't know how he can focus on you, and I don't know how he can focus on me, and I don't know how he can focus on other believers all at the same time, but the Bible tells us he does. And so when we don't understand the things that are going on around us and it's stealing, it's robbing us of our praise, the first thing we need to do is lift our hearts and our voices and our lives as praise to God. It's not woe is me. It is, God, you are wonderful. God, you are great. God, you are working. I may not like it. Remember Job? God was working. God hadn't lost the focus of Job. And remember, Job said, God, I've got some questions. Will you explain this to me? And God said, excuse me, who are you? Who are you that you're just a man and you come to me and you're wanting answers? Where were you when I laid the lines for the foundation of creation? Did I ask your advice? Did I seek your input? And Job went, I get it. And the Bible tells us that after that conversation with God, Job began to praise God as he did even before. And remember, chapter 1 tells us exactly what was going on with Job. It wasn't about Job and God. It was about God and Satan. Satan thought he knew Job. God was saying, I'm proof to you that I know him better than you do. You think you know Job. Let me show you the real Job. And maybe God has moved you for a period of time into the wilderness because he wants to show Satan that Satan doesn't know you as well as God does. Maybe it's not about you. It probably isn't about you because it's about him. He has a purpose and a plan for everything. And remember, no one or nothing changes or thwarts that purpose and plan. David never got over the fact that God loved him with a covenant-keeping commitment. How do we know that? What does he say? Your steadfast love is better than life. Don't ever forget that life is not worth living unless it is lived with a focus on God's love for you. Life isn't worth living if we lose sight of the love that God has for us, the enduring, unchangeable, unbreakable love of God for us. God's loving is far superior to all the various things in life. Let me say that again. God's loving is far superior to all the various things in life. And whatever kind of life you've chosen, whatever you've given yourself to, wherever your focus is right now, God's love is better than all of that. Because David knew the love of God personally. The last part of verse 3 says that he will what? Praise God with his lips. What an example that is for us. And David lived out this truth. How do we know? Look at verse 4. He says, so I will bless you as long as I live. In your name, I will lift up my hands. You know what? David is praising God here. And what does he say? I'm going to lift up my hands. So guess what? God has given us permission that as we come and we gather together in praise, we can lift our hands. Now, I know some of you are Baptists or former Baptists, and you think, if I do this, oh, my Baptist friends, if they find out I'm going to get a sermon, don't worry about them. Ain't about them. What did David say? I will praise you with my lips, and I will raise my hands to you. So, Jared, when we close this morning with the closing song, I want you to take note of who all doesn't raise their hands. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. Okay? Because Jared and I have had this conversation, and we both understand that if it's Holy Spirit-generated, that's wonderful. If it's man-generated, that's a totally different thing. That's not acceptable. So you praise God, how God is in with his Holy Spirit directing you to be able to do it. But if you've been wanting to just lift your hands, go ahead. Go ahead. What did David say? I will bless you as long as I live. In your name, I will lift up my hands. As David looks upward, he struggles to find a way to describe how focused he is on God. And I love this next part. Because as king, David was able to put on some amazing feasts. And as he thinks back, as he's in this wilderness, as he's thirsty, and now he's hungry, he's focused, he's thinking back to the best banquet that he ever had, and he says there's no comparison to the contentment he experiences with a daily focus on God. Look at verse 5. My soul will be satisfied with fat and rich food, and my mouth will praise you with joyful lips. Oh, I can be satisfied with food, but nothing satisfies like the praise that I'm directing to you from my lips. Wow. Think about the best meal you ever had. And think about the best times of praise you ever had. And how much more satisfying that praise to God was than the best meal you ever had. And if you can't remember that, if you can't recall that, then you need to start praising with a different focus. And maybe eating with a different focus as well. So for David, the pleasure found in God is equal to the pleasure found in eating. That's why church family dinners are really a spiritual experience. Maybe not. But the last part of verse 5 shows us that since David was fully satisfied with his bountiful banquet and his focus on God, he couldn't help but what? Break into praise. And with my mouth, I will praise you with joyful lips. Can I remind you of something this morning? Praise isn't just for these within the confines of these four walls. Praise happens wherever it is that we are. And when our focus is off of ourselves and off of our issues and our problems and our circumstances, praise happens. And it's a praise that brings contentment better than the best meal we've ever enjoyed. Even though David is in the desert with nothing to eat physically, his soul is satisfied with God. David chooses to praise God even though his present situation is not very good. You know what this tells us? Unpleasant circumstances do not need to steal the joy we have from God. You see, the joy that we have from God doesn't come from our circumstances, whether they be good or whether they be unpleasant. The joy that we have comes from He who is within us, not that which is without us. And we need to remember that. And because God is always with us, our praise can be offered to Him at any time, in any place. When our hearts are filled with praise, even our sorrow can become sweet because we recognize God's goodness. So when you are faced with disappointment, difficulty, or despair, use your lips to sing God's praise. Force yourself to praise him even when you do not feel like it. And here in verse 6, David's mind goes to those times when he's lying awake at night and can't sleep. And this verse covers all of our daily life. Look at verse 6. When I remember you upon my bed and meditate on you in the watches of the night. God should be our focus in the first and last thoughts of our day. Someone once said, when you can't fall asleep at night, don't count sheep. Instead, talk to the shepherd. I like that. And I'm here to tell you that if you start to put this into practice and you start talking to the shepherd, Satan's going to come along and put you to sleep because he doesn't want you talking to the shepherd. But you know what? When we're lying awake at night because of the cares of this world, because of the things that we're enduring, we can still praise God. We can still praise God. You mean I have to turn the radio on and I have to listen to praise songs? Nope. I have to turn the stereo? Nope. I have to turn the TV on and listen to some boring preacher? Nope. You can praise in the quietness of your heart and in the openness of your mind. You know how to praise. You come and do this every Sunday morning. You know these songs. You know God's word. You don't have to use songs to praise God. You can use his word. Those verses that you've memorized. Wait. Some of you are saying, I haven't ever memorized any verses from God's word. What? Whoa, you better fix that. Because when those times come, when we need God's word, it's not always convenient for us to open a Bible. But if we have it in our hearts, if we have it in our minds, God's Holy Spirit will open it for us. And we can praise God with his word. It's not just about singing. Here in verse 6, David's mind goes to those times when he's lying awake at night and can't sleep. At night, when your mind is filled with fear and worry, praise God on your pillow. Remember what he has done for you and focus on his goodness. And David has full confidence that God is going to help him deal with this situation. Look at verse 7. For you have been my help, and in the shadow of your wings I will sing for joy. The picture here is of a baby chick running for safety under the wings of a hen. I don't know how many of you have ever been on Eagle Road and you've driven by the pond outside of the offices of Blue Cross Blue Shield. But there's always ducks, there's always swans, there's always geese that are around there. And I remember one time I was driving by and it was kind of stormy. And there was a flash of lightning and there was a clap of thunder that shook my car. And I happened to gaze over at the pond to see these mother birds opening their wings and their little chicks running to the safety of those wings. And I thought, that is God. That's a picture of God. When we're in the wilderness, God hasn't abandoned us. God hasn't necessarily placed us there for punishment. And when we're in the wilderness, his wings are open. And he says, come to me and I will protect you. Come to me and you will find safety. Come to me and you will find security. We can find help in the shadow of his wings. And in verse 8, David not only sings, but he also clings to God. Look at verse 8. My soul clings to you. Your right hand upholds me. David is holding on to God while he's in this wilderness with everything he has. We cling to God, and he holds us in his powerful right hand. And you know what? This reminds me of what Jesus said, and it's recorded for us in John chapter 10, verses 28 and 29, where Jesus said, I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. Can I remind you this morning? This is what takes place the moment we believe in Jesus as Savior. Jesus says the moment that we believe in him as Savior, we are placed in his hand. And no one can take us out of that hand. And then God comes along and places his hand over Jesus' hand. So that nothing or no one, not even ourselves, can take us out of God's hand. David understood that. My prayer this morning is that you understand that. My prayer is that you're here this morning and you believe in Jesus as Savior. And my prayer is, if you don't, that you don't leave this place until you can honestly say, I know that Jesus went to the cross to be my Savior. He paid a debt of sin he didn't know, because I owed a debt of sin I couldn't pay. Let's go look at the third sign. The third sign says, have a forward focus. We're going to see that in verses 9 through 11. David now looks ahead to the situation in front of him. And notice how David is expecting to work. Look at verses 9 and 10. But those who seek to destroy my life shall go down into the depths of the earth. They shall be given over to the power of the sword. They shall be a portion for jackals. What is David saying here? God, I know you're going to work. I think I know how you're going to work this out, but you know what? I know you're going to work it out. I know that you are in charge. And the army led by Absalom was going to attack the next morning. But instead of being afraid, David was looking for God to do his work. And guess what? The prophecy of these words was fulfilled when God routed the enemies of David, and it's recorded for us in 2 Samuel 18, verses 7 through 8. And because David understood that God was at work, that God was going to work this out, and that the result of it was David was going to praise him. Look at verse 11. David had confidence in God. Look at verse 11. But the king shall rejoice in God. Who's the king? Him. He still understands. He may be on the run. He may be afraid. He may be ashamed. He may be in the wilderness of the Judean desert, but he's still the king. He says, the king shall rejoice in God. All who swear by him shall exult. That word exult in the Hebrew, another word for praise. For the mouths of liars will be stopped. You know, I understand this morning there's an enemy out there for each of us. Maybe it's a person. Maybe it's a situation or a circumstance. And we know that Satan is at work. I remind our leadership team on a regular basis, where God is working, Satan's going to work even more. And we need to be aware. We can have a forward focus, just like David. And we can say, God will do his work, and I will praise him. Because when God is all we've got, he's all we want. Because when God is all we've got, he's all we want. So keep your focus on him. Long for him. Live for him. Look for him. Keep your praise focused on God, and your heart and your life will find the satisfaction that you're wanting and looking for. Father, thank you for taking us through this psalm this morning. Thank you for teaching those things to us that you want us to be able to learn from the example of David. Father, help us to be focused on you. Father, help us to focus our praise on you, so that you can use our praise, that you can ensure our focus will bring to our heart and our life the satisfaction you desire for us to have. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Okay, we're going to call an audible. We're going to change the last song because of some of the scripture that you read.
What? I know.
All right, would you all stand with me for this last song? It's called Your Love, O Lord. When you were talking about those the shadow of the wings that triggered the song, and I'm like, you know what? We should sing this song instead. It's awesome.
Your love, O Lord, reaches to the heavens. reaches to the sky. Your righteousness is like a mighty mountain. Your justice flows like the ocean's tide. And I will lift my voice to worship you, my King. And I will find my strength in the shadow of your wings.
Let's start over.
Your love, O Lord, reaches to the heavens. Your faithfulness stretches to the sky. Justice flows like the ocean's tide, and I will lift my voice to worship you, my King. And I will find my strength in the shadow of your wings, and I will lift my worship you, my King. I will find my strength in the shadow of your wings. Your love, O Lord, reaches to the heavens. Your faithfulness stretches to the sky.